Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9, K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5, KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
is a prayer hearing and answering God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Faithful is our God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, rather. Listen, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may know what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I won't just talk for a little while. If we change our minds, we can change our lives. If we change our minds, we can change our lives. My brothers and sisters, I think this word is so important, relevant to the believers today, to help us understand that we have fallen many times into molds and into holes that hold us captive to the world's thinking, to the world's mentality, to the world's way of doing things. And it is beneath the privilege of the believers of God. We don't realize how God has given to us power and authority to overcome everything in this world that's not like him. How God has given to us with the faculty of our mind in understanding his word, how we literally can change our lives by changing our minds or our mindset. Amen, amen. To understand that God's way is not only the right way, but it's the best way. And for the believer, it's the only way. And as we begin to recognize the reason for the word of God, the reason God has revealed his mind in written form, the word of God, the Bible, is so that we can know, not think, not feel, not guess, not hope, but know what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And my brothers and sisters, it'll change your life when you begin to understand a reality from God's point of view instead of the world's point of view. The world has contaminated our thinking with all kinds of cancerous thoughts, with all kinds of thoughts that are unholy and ungodly and unrighteous and so different from God that God has no place in our thought processes. And we wonder why God does not deal with us and dwell with us, because our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost, and he can't dwell in an unclean temple. And so we've got to clean it up. We've got to get it together, but it must begin with our minds understanding the word, the will, and the way of God, so much so that the Holy Ghost will desire to dwell in this place. Look at what he says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Amen. He says, in light of this fact, I beg you to listen to me. By the mercies, the tender mercies of God. And Paul is saying this because Paul has declared that he was chief sinner. And if the Lord could save him, there's hope for anybody. And so he's saying, I beseech ye therefore by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. If you'll notice, most sacrifices are dead. They kill the sacrifice, pour the blood out, and the sacrifice that sacrificed his life is dead for us. But the one who really made the sacrifice is dead. Think about it. We're not really making the sacrifice when we, you know, kill a cow, kill a lamb, kill a chicken, whatever. It's them that made the sacrifice. Come on, talk to me, somebody. They're the ones that no longer have a life. We have a life after we sacrifice them. But Paul puts a different spin on this. He said that we should be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That means that our lives is not given to God one act, one time, but every day, all day. We're a living sacrifice. Everywhere we go, we represent God. We represent him in his holiness. We represent him in his thoughts. We represent him in his action. We represent him as his children. We represent him as ambassadors. We represent him as the people of God. We make sacrifices in this flesh because he, through his son, made sacrifices in the flesh that gave us the right to know him in an intimate and personal way. And so therefore, God is looking upon us now to make a different kind of sacrifice, because Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice to bring us in right relationship with God. But we've got to make the right relationship, the right sacrifice to stay in right relationship with him. That's by not allowing the flesh to live above the spirit. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back from the enemy. We no longer belong to the devil, and I got news for you. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to God. So listen, to make a sacrifice to be holy, for us to be acceptable, is our reasonable service. Whatever we do for God, whatever we sacrifice for God, listen to this. Paul says it's reasonable. You know, God requires so much of us as it relates to being his children and as it relates to us being able to walk and live in righteousness and do, and all of that might seem hard, but here is the difference that we must understand. It's because of him that we have life, and because we have life, every day the life we have is not really ours, but it's the Lord Jesus inside of us being lived through us. So to be alive, to live the life, is our reasonable service. In other words, he woke us up this morning to represent him. So anything he asks of us to do ought not be too much to do. We ought not complain about praising him. We ought not complain about being a witness for him, because he could not have wakened us today. He could not have woke us up this morning. He could have left us in that place called sleep. But he got us up afresh, gave us health and strength and energy and all of that. And whatever we do for his glory is our reasonable service. Now he moves on and he says, and be not conformed. Now there are two commands here that I want you to look at. Be not conformed and be ye transformed. Let's deal with the conformed first. Because when he talks about conform, this word literally means to fashion or to mold. And so what it means is that we as people of God have got to recognize that we cannot allow ourselves to be fashioned after the mindset of the world. If the world is doing it, it's okay for the world, because that's the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. We belong to God, and therefore we should be fashioning our lives after Christ. We should have the mind of Christ in us, not the mind of the world in us. And see, the problem with too many of us is we allow everything to work with our minds but the Word. We let television work with our minds, movies work with our minds, commercials, magazines, music, peers, the streets, all kinds of influences from this world. We allow all of that to work with our minds rather than us using the Word to go into our minds and wash all of that junk out of our minds and replace it with something healthy and nutritious for us to think on, for us to live by, for us to grow by, for us to know him by. It is important for us to know that we must not be conformed, fashioned after this world. When we start looking more like the world than the church, it means that the world has taken rule over us. When we come into the church looking like we came out of the club. You know, I'm going to address this issue, you know, with the churches now lowering their standards so you can wear shorts to church, you can wear cut-off jeans to church, you can wear all this mess, and then you want to talk about, well, the Lord said, come as you are. No, that ain't what he said. That's what you took it to mean. He meant as your heart is, whatever situation your life is in, how broken you may be, you come as you are. But you learn when you come as you are, he lifts you up so that you desire to give him nothing but your best. You come like you are to the world stuff. You don't come to God like that. But when you buy into the world, I want to be comfortable. Comfortable. It's your reasonable service. If you go nowhere else dressed up, if you go nowhere else giving God your best, if you go no other place where you want to show God how much you appreciate what he's done for you, it ought to be in his house. We spend more time and money getting ready to go to a ball, to a party, to an outing, than we do to come serve the God of the universe. Come into his presence any kind of way and think it's all right. Spend more than 45 minutes we looking at our time, think about what else we got to do. If we stay here 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, when you think of what he's done for you, that matter of fact, you are that. If that's the issue, leave your watch in your car. Because you ought to be able to say, God, you give me so much. The least I can do is be in worship until the service is over and enjoy you in the present moment. And so when people realize, I don't want to work with your doubt. I want to work with your faith. Got enough folk messing with that, causing you to believe this and causing you to believe that. Got our young people all messed up socially. Got our young people all twisted in the world, all perverted with the stuff they've got. Our young girls, barely teenagers, looking like hookers out on the street, and we think that's good. And our parents are approving of that mess. There's something wrong with that picture. You got a 13-year-old girl. Can I tell you, a 13-year-old girl ought to look like a 13-year-old girl. She shouldn't look like a 19-year-old girl. And you got some of these low-down fellas out there looking for anything that they can find, and they see somebody young and don't know no better, and they take advantage. But you set them up for that failure. You set them up for that. Well, how do I live? No, you, what? Your mama ain't your girlfriend. Your mama is your mama. Your mama ought not want to hang with you and your girlfriends going to the mall and going to the party, and you look at them and you tell them, that's my sister, because y'all look like y'all dressed alike. They ought to clearly know the mama from the daughter. I'm married. I ain't going to be your friend. Oh, really? Okay, good, because I'm your mama, I'm your daddy, I ain't your friend. As long as I put the roof over your head, put clothes on your back, food in your mouth, let you sleep in my air condition on my bed, you going to be the roofs in my house. Talk on my telephone, watch my TV. No, you ain't my friend. You ain't paying bill one. But it's acceptable in the world for all of that foolishness. And so there is no difference. Listen, we've been bombarded, we've been hoodwinked, we've been fooled, but when you know better, you ought to do better. some mothers, because they have children so young, they're not but a few years older than their children. I understand that, but look, you got a role to play, an important role to play, and now that you have that role, you need to play that to the fullest, because God is holding you responsible for that role. And so notice what the word says, be not conformed to this world. To this world. Why? Because this world is not our home. This world is not the place where we get our instruction from. This world is not the place where we follow its system. It is us who are in the world bringing light to a dark place. And we can't bring light when we're living in darkness. Wherever a believer is, he or she ought to present light. Light. It might not be much, but it ought to be, if it's just a match. I promise you, if you turned every dark light out in this place and cover every window where there was no light coming in, and somebody way at the back door lit a match, that little bit of light would be seen all over this large room. That's how important that little light is in a dark world. Don't think that you don't matter, because you do. Your thinking. You've got to remove the worldly confines of your thinking. You've got to rise above where you are in your thinking. You've got to get out of this world system in your thinking. The world says you can't do it. But in your mind as a believer, that's not what the word says. The word says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, if I don't get it today, I don't give up. I keep trying, because he's strengthening me. He's giving me more and more power and ability to get this thing done. And I get closer every time I try. It might not happen one time. That's why I've got to realize that this thing is a continual building of building blocks of learning, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I don't wake up one day and it all just happens like that. I've got a whole lot of stuff that's got to be washed out of my mind that causes me to doubt and disbelieve before I can get enough believing ability and building blocks to start building the right kind of mentality and focus. Because when I recognize that I can't be conformed to this world, the first thing we need to do is start cleaning out what's there. Erasing what's on the blackboard, because all of it's negative. It's geared toward this world. And so to not be conformed means I've got to get rid of the fashion, the design, the pattern, the mold of this world. How do I do this? By being transformed. Transformed, not conformed. See, I need to look every day in every way to be different from the world. Amen. Why? Because I am different. The same word transform has to do with the word that we get the word metamorphosis from. It literally means to change from one thing to something totally different. One of the most simplest illustrations that most of us know is that caterpillar turning into a creepy, crawling, hairy thing. After it has gone through its process of change, comes out with beautiful wings, and it no longer crawls and creeps, but it flies. Totally changed. Totally transformed. Brand new. That's right.
That's right. Amen.
You ought not be trying to fit in where you can get in. You need to be making a whole new situation. You're trying to cram yourself down in the bottom where everybody else is. You need to be going up where there's room, and that's at the top. Kind of getting where I can fit in, you know. You know what I mean? No, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean? You want to make it so much so that you don't have to look at the world, but the world starts looking at you. And that means the mind. What you put in your mind is content. Your content changes your character. Your character changes your conduct. And so what you've got to realize is the reason why our children act like they act is because what they've got in their mind is predominantly negative stuff. Amen. Bad stuff.
That's right.
Nothing new, nothing revelatory, nothing exciting, nothing different. Same old, same old. Being placed in their path. Being placed in their sight, being placed in their hearing. They're surrounded by it. And then it's reinforced by what parents say to them. Listen, my brothers and sisters, the intellect, the base of the intellect, the mind is so important. You've got to realize that's where the devil fights and usually beats you at before it ever gets in the natural realm.
Amen.
In the spiritual realm and in your mind. Because the word says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The devil starts working on your mind, and he can get you to give up before you get started. He can get you to declare yourself a loser, defeated, a victim before the battle ever gets started. He can cause you to look at your situation and instead of seeing your source, you see your situation. David came out to feed his brothers. Who was going up against the Philistines? Goliath came out there breathing threats against the Israelites and talking about David's God. Right. David saw this. Amen. But listen at this. David did not become fearful and frightful because of what he saw in the flesh, his circumstance, his situation. Here was Saul, some 7+ feet tall. Goliath was supposed to have been 9 feet tall. Saul, if there was anybody who was going to be close enough to fighting him, it would have been him. Here David, a little puny shepherd boy. Here he was. He was no big hulk of a man. He was no muscle-bound man. He was just a small lad of a boy. But what he knew in his mind, the devil in hell couldn't take out. And when he saw Goliath, and Goliath started talking trash to David, David said, man, you don't know who I serve. You trash talker, you. He made it clear that his God was going to fight this battle. His God was going over to, you might be too big for me, but I got news for you. You can't handle my God. Because he did not become defeated by, in his mind, by what he saw. The Israelites were told Canaan was their land. God allowed Moses to spy out the land. He sent 12 spies. 10 and 2 came back. 10 said, yes, it's true. It flows with milk and honey. They've got large grapes, so much so that you need two men to carry one cluster. They have sealed cities, walled cities, beautiful homes. Oh, did I forget to tell you, they got giants?